Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to get right through this and into this. I want to refer to this message as the Great Exchange. The Great Exchange. So I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture in John chapter 3. It's one that you might find a famous portion of it. The one that we refer to is, because I'm going to read about 21 verses. So as I read this, I want you to, out of the New Living Translation, just listen to those words, this interaction that Jesus has with a man, a religious leader named Nicodemus. And of course, from here we get John 3:16. But there's so much more. There's depth to John 3:16. And I think it refers to so much of what God is doing and God has always done. God has had a plan from the beginning. He hasn't just thrown this all together on a whim. You guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of eyeballs go in different directions. Stay with me. I'm up here. I don't know. Mike mentioned something about trying not to get distracted from Sunday afternoon meals, and then I was all of a sudden distracted from Sunday afternoon meals. I was like ready to go eat. So stay with me. I promise you'll be blessed. Yeah, it's okay. It wasn't your fault. It's all your fault that I get distracted by food. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's on me. John 3, starting in chapter 3, verse 1, says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus, and he says, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Now, I'm going to stop there. I want to pause real quick. Have you ever done this with God? Because here's what I see happening right here, right off the bat. He's going to what he's declaring as God is with you. So it's almost as though he's saying, I'm coming to you as I refer to as God. But I'm saying, here's how I want you to do things, God. Have you ever done that? But this is what Nicodemus does. He says, we know that you've come here to teach us. Isn't this interesting? You might be going to God and saying, God, I know that you want to do these things in my life. Did you hear what I just said?
Yep.
That's what Nicodemus did. Jesus was like, sorry, bud, but here's what I actually want to do. You think I just want to teach you the ways of God? I have come to show you the ways of God. Not just teach you, but to show you and make it such an experience that it will impact, change, redirect your entire life. See? There's a difference there. God, teach me some stuff that I need to learn. How many husbands in the room, don't raise your hands because you might get yourself in trouble, need help loving your wives? Don't raise your hand. Have you asked anybody for help? Don't raise your hand. Yes, the answer is a given yes. But what do we really need to do? Okay, we could reverse that. How many wives in the room have needed help putting up with your husbands? Yeah, put your hand down. You notice how I worded that correctly, right?
Happy wife, happy life.
Something like that, yeah. There's a lot of truth to some of our little sayings. But here's what Nicodemus is doing, is he's going to God and saying, God, oh wait, okay, I got to throw the kids in the, how many kids in the room need help obeying your parents? Oh, that was a quick, nope, I don't want any help. I'm doing just fine. Yeah. We all need a little help, don't we? Yes. That's why I think mostly we get along so well. We realize we all need a little help. Some of us a little more than others, and that's okay. Amen. We know that God is with you because of all these miraculous signs. So teach us. You've come to teach us. But Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I think that's something we ought to listen to if Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth. Is that mine? Everybody's got the ring, and I'm going to make sure my volume's down. There it is. Somebody's dropping off a package at my house. Something like that. Unless it was somebody else's. I tell you the truth. Listen to this. Unless you are born again, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. See, he flips the script on Nicodemus instantly. Nicodemus says, teach us the ways of God. We know. If you teach us, we will learn. And Jesus says, nah, you can't learn it. You won't even see it. You won't recognize it. You won't be able to even identify what it is unless you're born again. And that's like calling. He got right into his business, didn't he? And so Nicodemus is like, what do you mean? What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell it where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe me if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing the will of God, or what God wants or God desires. So come with me for a second. To the very night before Jesus was to be crucified, he took Peter, James, and John with him to an olive grove, to an olive garden, to pray with him because he was really distraught. He knew what was ahead. He knew what was in place. So he takes these three closest, you could call it disciples, friends, confidants, those he trusted most with him. And Jesus prays a prayer, and he asks God the Father, if there is any other way, would you please take this cup from me? But nevertheless, not my will be done, your will be done. And then he goes back to his friends, and he finds them asleep. He says, come on, guys, you couldn't just stay with me for just a little bit. This is where we get that line that Jesus says, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Come on, wake up, pray with me. And he goes back to pray, and he prays the same prayer. I mean, he really does. This is Jesus. He's asking God, the Father, the same prayer. God, you know what's in front of me. I know what's in front of me. If there is another way, if there is any other way, can we put that into play right now? Now would be a really good time to put this into play. But nevertheless, your will be done. See what Jesus was doing there, and he was actually affirming in his spirit the commitment that he had made to this, what he was chosen to do. God had chosen him as his only son to actually come to this earth. And he knew he was committed. He knew beforehand what it was going to require. He was committed and he was committing himself to the will of God. He was simply saying yes. You know, so much of the gospel is, I think, broken down to just the simplicity of that one word, yes. Jesus was saying yes to God's will. So I'm going to just ask a question, and I'm going to go to a couple of things. What does Jesus' yes mean for us? What does that yes mean for us? What does it open up for us? The yes of Jesus. What did that do for you and I? The whole world, if you want to throw that in, did a few things. I'm just going to hit a couple of really main points because I know that there's a lot more. In fact, there's an entire book written about the yes of Jesus. It's called the Bible. It's a really good one. It's a good book. His yes is the way provided by God for anyone and all to get into his heaven. Did you hear that? It's just simple, isn't it? His yes to God's will is the way provided by God for anyone to get into his heaven. We need to know that. Because there's a lot of other messages out there. A lot of other, what we call would be easy ways to possibly get to heaven. Just be a good person. Hey, and we go to God. We might go to God. Hey, God, if just being a good person isn't enough, then I don't know if I want to be in your heaven. Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? I have. And it's really sad and it's super scary because they have just said, they've planted their feet on, this is how I am going to go down in flames. And they don't know it's going to be literal. So it requires more. It requires just simply Jesus, yes. So that opens up the door for our, if you want to call it, our ticket into heaven is his yes. Another thing that it means to us is his yes, and this is really fantastic, guys. His yes is our forgiveness of our sin. Isn't that a neat thing? That's why I call it the great exchange. Jesus became sin, and we get forgiven of our sin. He said yes, and we're forgiven of our sin. That's amazing. That's fantastic. And maybe we don't realize how fantastic it is. I don't think we do. I don't think that we understand how absolutely wonderful it is to be forgiven of sin. Maybe we do. I think when Jesus said at one point was having a conversation with people that, and a lady came and said, and she was so weeping, she was weeping with tears because she knew that she was a sinner and this Jesus was receiving her, accepting her just as she was. And the people had issue with it and said, do you know who she is? She's a prostitute. Do you know what she does? And you're letting her get close to you? And Jesus said, well, she knows she's forgiven. And so she loves much. He who is forgiven much loves much. And it doesn't mean we have to sin a lot to be loved a lot. It means we just have to know that we are forgiven. We have to realize, understand, and accept the fact that I am a sinner. Now, this opens up a whole other thing, doesn't it? Because, and I'll get to what our yeses are what it means, but because it's, well, let me go by my notes. I do this all the time. I jump ahead of myself, and that's why I write it out. His yes gives you and I spiritual birth. His yes gives you and I spiritual birth. And his yes is what opens the door for the Holy Spirit to enter your heart and live inside of you. Which, let's segue into this. His yes also empowers you to say yes to him. You can't say yes to him without his yes first. Your yes is completely dependent on his yes. In fact, it's required. In fact, you can't say yes to God without God's agreement. Isn't that interesting? His yes to God's will empowers you to say yes also to God's will. If you will, it's a communion of wills. On the table, we should have this, and this is what I'm going to ask you all to do right now. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I think we can do this. On each table, there should be a couple of pieces of bread and some cups and some juices, bottles of juice. If there isn't enough, I'm pretty sure there is. If you get to somebody and there's not enough, share it with a spouse, the juice that is. I'm asking you to prepare it, and here's what I'm asking you to do, is to break a piece of the bread. Break a piece of the bread for each person, a small piece that where you could actually eat it, a small piece of bread, pour a small cup of juice, and just have it in front of you. And as I talk about our yeses, I just want us to be thinking about what we're going to be doing here, okay? If there should be some around the table. If there's not at your table, there should be enough at a table near you. Like on the rows where there isn't a table. So please get it. Oh, thank you. And don't take it yet. Don't eat it and don't drink it yet. Because there's a reason behind this, and I want us to talk about it. We're almost there. I could tell. Thank you for being so cooperative and helpful. Man, I'm really impressed. Not at all surprised, just impressed. A communion of wills. We'll call that. We'll call this communion a communion of wills. Or a communion of yeses. We've been talking about Jesus' yes and what Jesus' yes did for us. And there's so much more. I mean, I really just hit it in like literally like 5 minutes. And we know that there's a lot more to it than that. But his yes opens up this opportunity and privilege for us to be able to more than say yes to Jesus, more than say yes to God's will, but actually be empowered to actually now do God's will. Water doesn't count. So if you'd like to hold it in your hand, that's fine, because I think it gives you something to really reflect on. Because what I'm going to ask us to do this morning is to really contemplate the decision of saying yes to Jesus and what that means. And because if we don't, we could easily say yes to something that we don't understand. And I want us to understand, and I believe God wants you to really not only say yes in a way that is meaningful, but actually has an impact on your life. And so in this, I'm asking you to, if this is a yes in your life, to actually partake in this communion with us together, because I think it's pretty fantastic to do it in a way that actually is meaningful. Because I'm sure you'll get enough to eat later on in the afternoon. Your yes, is declaring and professing the truth that Jesus is the only way. Really, your yes is declaring and professing yes to Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus, it's declaring the truth of God's Word, proclaiming God's Word as truth, because God's Word is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. He is the way, the truth, the life. The only way in which we can connect, commune, relate with God is through Jesus. There is no other name given to man, no other name given to an entire universe, in which we must be saved. And it's only in the name of Jesus. So your yes, your partaking of this communion is declaring and proclaiming that Jesus is the only way. Your yes is a confession. Now this is a tough one. This is where we got it. This is where it gets a little bit gritty. I'm warning you. Your yes is a confession of guilt that you are a sinner and need to be forgiven. Now I need us to look at this really close, because there's an easy button in this that I don't want you to push. And the easy button is this, and it's the vague definition of what we all would say. Well, we're all sinners. The world is full of sin. All of us are sinners. That's true. That's not a lie. That's very true. But this very personal yes is one that says, I have sinned. I am a sinner, and I need to be forgiven. This requires 100% humility. Because any ounce of pride in this will excuse your own sin. Even explain it, rationalize it, call it something other than it is, a mistake, a boo-boo, and it's just flat-out sin. We need to really come to the grips, the gritty conclusion in our own heart, our own mind, our own soul, that I am a sinner and I need to be forgiven. And I believe once we do that, I really promise you this, the door that gets opened up for the love of God becomes so rich. You will fall in love with a loving God, a merciful, kind, and just God. You will fall in love with Him. Because the more that I realize and recognize my own personal sin, the more I am in love with Jesus. And if I could give that to you of myself, I would. But you need to experience that in yourself. And I believe that's the experiential step that we take as Jesus was confronting Nicodemus and say, you just want to be taught the ways of God? I'm telling you, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. You have to do it all over again. And that's, it requires that yes as a confession of guilt. Say, yes, I'm guilty of sin. And I need to be forgiven. Or you can even just call it simply owning up. Hey, just own up. Man up if you want to even get a little gritty. Just man up. Yeah, that's me. I did it. Your yes to Jesus, this is pretty cool. This is the great news. I think the best news of all. Your yes to Jesus is inviting the Holy Spirit to live inside you. Your yes to Jesus is inviting God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell inside you. Okay, now I'm going to get, this isn't as gritty as the sin part, but it's really, it needs to be shared. This is so much more, if I could use a modern illustration, so much more than downloading an accessory app on your phone. Okay? No, I mean it. This is so much more than that, and you need to understand it this way. I think, and look at it this way. It's downloading an entire iOS, internal operating system. It's allowing God to get into everything inside you. All of you. It's allowing, permitting, agreeing to, you know, when you got to read through the whole contract of a download of an app and you push agree without ever reading it. Okay, I've done that too. Yeah, we all did it, right? Probably got about 50 apps on your phone that you have no idea what you've agreed to. But this is giving God access to everything. Have you ever been using this, like I said, modern illustration? Have you ever been using an app on your device? Forgive me for using the iDevice but have you ever been using an app and all of a sudden it runs across this thing that says like and won't let you go any farther? It says you must give it access to other parts of your phone or device, whether it's your camera, your microphone. It's because we didn't read the agreement part when we pushed agree, and we needed to do that. Now it's going back and it's calling us on the carpet. See, that's what God will do inside of us. When we say yes and we agree and we our yes is yes, He's going to constantly be in our business. And all of a sudden you'll be going about your merry old way, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, hey, what about this? Like, well, wait, I didn't agree to you getting into my marriage. My finances? Hey, that's my stuff, man. I work for my money. It's my money. You can't touch that, God. And God's saying, no, you didn't agree to that. You said yes. It's all mine now. Oh. He'll get into every bit of your business. But that's a good thing. Please recognize and understand that God is good. And He loves you. He cares about you. His goodness is beyond our comprehending. And I think that when we say yes, the goodness of God will just overwhelm us. The stuff that you thought that you needed to hold on to, the stuff that you thought that you couldn't handle and deal with, He says, I am right there. And I'm not only going to just help you handle it and deal with it, I'm actually going to bring you through it victorious. And people will look at you and say, wow, there's something way different about that person. There's something amazing. I'm seeing that they're going to church, they're trusting God, and their life is different. It's awesome. I want that for my life. But it requires a yes on your part. Say yes. So I'm going to do something right now before we take the bread and drink the cup, drink the juice. I'm going to pray. If you've never said yes to Jesus, now's a really good time. Now's a really good time. So pray with me if you'd like to. Father God, I thank You that You chose me before the creation of the world to love and to give Your Son Jesus so that I can have life. I believe in You, Jesus. I receive You, Jesus, into my life. I invite You in to dwell with inside of me. I confess that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness of my sin. And I can't be good enough. I need You, Jesus. And I say yes to You, Jesus. Amen. Simple. If you'd like to, the bread symbolizes His body that was broken for us. Take it and eat it. And do it in remembrance of Him. Take a minute. Amen. The juice that we drink is symbolic of the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. My sin. Take it and drink it. Stick with me for another minute. See, when this communion of wills takes place, as it just did, this is neat. I want you guys to hear this. There is a change of direction. There's a change of direction in your life. You know, there's a part of the resurrection story that sometimes we don't see as simply right in front of us. The morning, this Sunday morning that now we get up and we celebrate as Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, there was two women, two Marys to be exact, both of them named Mary. Mary and the other Mary. That's how it refers to them in the Bible. They were headed to the grave. They were headed to the tomb that very first Easter Sunday, that very first Resurrection Sunday. But they were headed there. They didn't know. They didn't know what was ahead of them. All that they knew is that their king, their Lord, their master, their rabbi, their teacher, their friend, the person that they looked to for help, for assistance, for guidance, for advice, Jesus, was crucified. And they know that He was dead. They knew He was dead. They pierced him with a sword to where water and blood gushed out of his side. Evidence that he actually did die. It wasn't a hoax. He was placed in a tomb. They knew where the tomb was and they were headed there. They wanted to bless his body. And on the way there, and this account is in every one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all kind of have a little bit of a different take, but it's all saying the same thing. On the way there, they're headed there. They're full of despair. They're distraught. They're sad. They're friendless. They're even a little hopeless. They're thinking, who's going to roll away this big stone for us so that we can bless his body, so that we can anoint his body? I don't know. We'll just figure it out when we get there. Maybe one of the soldiers will actually be kind because they knew that the tomb was being guarded. So they're on the way to the grave. Do you hear me? They're on the way to the grave, to the tomb. But when they get there, they find a surprise that they were a little bit like shocked. Not just a little bit, super shocked. The stone is rolled away, and then in one of the accounts of the Gospels, they're like, somebody took his body, oh no, what are we going to do? And they were really upset. And they have this interaction with these two glorious beings. As you read the different accounts, it's interesting. One of the beings is an angel. An awesome angel. I don't know what this angel was doing there, but I can't wait to meet that. That's one guy, one of the angels I want to meet. That was there first on scene when Jesus' body was resurrected. He was first on scene. And so they start asking this being. They're scared. They're confused. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And you know what he says to them? Why are you looking for him here? This is where dead people lie. He's alive. Why are you looking for him here? This is the grave. He's not here. It's almost like the angel was having fun with their emotions. And it was like kind of cruel, but a little bit like, come on. He's not here. He's alive. That just sent, and literally my hair stood up. I'm not joking. He's alive. He's not here. So here's the directional change that Jesus' yes and our yes happens and takes place in yours and our lives. Is we go into a grave, towards a grave, facing death, facing confusion, facing life without any hope. And then we find out that Jesus is alive. And he says, go tell everybody. Go tell it on the mountain. Hallelujah. That he is alive. And they take off running. Woo! We can't wait. We're a little like confused and scared, but I can't wait to tell everybody. He is alive. So the directional change is so simple to really see it. It's almost as though I could even use English if you will. I'm not an English teacher. In fact, you know this. It's a prepositional change. It's a from a to a from. From a to a from. They're going to the grave, from the grave, to death, from death, to life. That's awesome. Jesus said yes to the will of God to become the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. We say yes to Jesus and our direction changes from going to hell to going to heaven. We say yes to Jesus and we go from being condemned for our sin to being completely forgiven. Hallelujah. Can't get any better than that. That's the greatest exchange ever given on offer to mankind. Ever. There's nothing ever given that we can say is better. We say yes to Jesus and we are raised from death to life in the Holy Spirit. from being scared, from being even feeling alone, to having and walking by faith. And this is even the best news. I want to tell you, we say yes, and we go from being scared and alone to walking by faith and having a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Let's pray one more time. Father, we just thank you that your plan of salvation is so perfect. We can't improve on it. Your plan of salvation was from the very beginning. Even before you created all of this, you had a plan in play to save us, restore us, bring us into your kingdom, to call us your friends. And we're so grateful and thankful, Jesus, that you said yes to God's will. And you give us the opportunity, the privilege to say yes and therefore be called one of your children. And in Jesus' name, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to dwell inside of us. Reformat our entire iOS. Do what needs to be done. We permit you, we allow you. We say yes to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.